This week, we're doing something different. We're making Fessel into a temporary panel show.
Well, how's that going to work, Rob?
Well, I'm going to be the Angus Dayton character. I'll be the Fessmaster, if you will.
I suppose that makes me grumpy team captain Ian Hislop. So who's going to be Paul Merton?
Can I come in? I could be your Paul Merton.
It's Twitter sensation Sam Bams.
Hooray!
Hooray! It's so great you're here. I love your tweets.
Go on, do your Chuckle Brothers joke.
Go on then. Why did the Chuckle Brothers join British Gas?
I don't know. Why did the Chuckle Brothers join British Gas?
To meet you!
Brilliant. That's complete genius. And that's why we booked you. Are you ready for the first round of Fessel, the inevitable comedy panel show?
Yes!
Oh, God. Have I really booked Sam and Dave for this?
Sorry if that was a bit early.
It's okay, Dave. It can happen to anyone.
Dave, we need to do some housekeeping stuff before we start, okay? Remind people what Fessel is.
Fessel is a Twitter account which publicly publishes confessions. You started it 5 years ago and it's got over a million followers.
Wow, but what is this? This isn't a Twitter account.
No, this is the Fessel podcast, presented by you, Rob Manuel, and me, David Stevenson. And this week with our guest, Sam Bams.
Yay!
And our job is to take multiple bites of the Fessel cherry, sometimes interviewing people related to confessions like priests, psychiatrists, and prison listeners, sometimes chewing over the week's best confessions, sometimes interviewing the people who make the confessions. And this week, simply for fun, we're making it into a panel show.
But why would we want to do that, Dave?
Well, you said that TV companies keep emailing you and asking you if they can turn it into a panel show.
Yeah, this is true. But the problem is they all say the same thing. We want to make a panel show presented by a big famous comedian. I don't know. I don't really fancy getting written out of my own project. It doesn't sound very appealing to me. Although I can see why that would be appealing to viewers.
So let's do it without any big famous comedians.
Yes, let's do it without cameras, without famous people, and without any budget. I mean, it is in the spirit of Fessel. It's not about celebrity. It's about real people, isn't it?
I'm not a real person.
Yes, you are, Sam. You're from the internet. You've done numbers online, and that's the only reality that counts.
Jingles!
Okay, this is round one. What happened next? Round one, what we've done is we've removed half of the confession and you have to guess what happened next. You get points for being funny and you get points for being correct. I'll read out half a confession and first Sam will complete it and then Dave will have a go. Actually, and because of the Sam and Dave thing, let's assume that we always go in that order. So it's always Sam first. So
it's a fair cop.
Good cop. Okay, I'll try and read this out without falling apart. In Tesco, with adult daughter, she'd gone ahead, found her looking in the freezer, and I thought it'd be hilarious to shove her in. She fell in.
And she was totally chilled about it.
Ooh. I like that. I did. She fell in. So did I. And it took the fire brigade 3 hours to free us from the frozen food aisle. It's no joke. I nearly lost a finger to Captain Birdseye.
Ooh. You're putting a fingering reference to Captain Birdseye this early.
I've got to say, I went down the King Prawn Ring route and then simplified it. I also thought about when Emu threw Rod Hull in the freezer. Do you remember?
Oh, that was such an amazing clip, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great.
It's such a bit of performance work that he makes everyone convinced Emu is the actual person doing it.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
I was convinced, yeah. Right, do you want to know the actual answer?
Yes.
Okay, she fell in. I laughed a lot and then looked up to see daughter standing at the end of the aisle. I'd shoved in a random stranger into the freezer. Oh, God.
Embarrassment.
I put this story at the beginning of the Fessel book, the first book, didn't I, about that awful situation I got into. When my son, Stanley, was about 5 years old, I went to the Bloody Science Museum. And downstairs, there's like a water exhibit where you learn about hydraulics and stuff. And all the kids get wet and they have to learn how water flows this way and that way and build little dams. And all the kids wear these little yellow jackets to stop them getting wet. And so anyway, I'm being a really responsible dad and I'm like looking at my phone instead of looking at my son. And eventually I look up and I see my son's down there in his little yellow jacket, and there's like something in his hair. And I start like fingering like this bit of cack in his hair, because your monkey instinct
you know
kicks
it
in.
Is, yeah.
You go, what's that? What's that gunk? And suddenly there's a man in my face going, get your hands off my daughter.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And do you know what I was actually fingering? Obviously, than a four-year-old child.
Yes.
This poor little girl, she had a bone hearing aid, and that's what it was. That's
oh
what
my
I was poking.
Goodness.
And I was trying to explain to the guy, and he's just like, I don't care. Just go away. It's awful. Right, okay, so we've got another autocomplete here. Is that what it is? It's not autocomplete, is it?
We could call it autocomplete.
We call it a ChatGTP autocomplete.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, right. Husband loves dry roasted peanuts and reads about different types and different roasting processes. I can't stand it. It's just so beige.
I'm in the process of inventing a serious peanut allergy so I can fake my own death just to get away from him.
Excellent. I've started farting into his roasting bag. He can't tell the difference. In fact, he's boasted about it getting tastier.
I think the farting into the roasting bag wins for me. It's just such a horrible image. Yes. But it also, it's sort of like it preempts the, you're building it to a punchline, but it's such an extraordinary thing to say at the top. It becomes the punchline just there. It's like the, remember that like fisting Norman Lamont thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Julian Clary.
Yeah. Julian Clary goes on stage and goes, I was backstage fisting Norman Lamont. The place breaks down. And it wasn't the punchline. His punchline was actually, talk about a red box.
Yeah.
And it's just the setup is so extraordinary. Husband loves dry roasted peanuts and reads about different types and different roasting processes. I can't stand it. It's so beige. I went to my friend's house and had a threesome with her and her husband just to feel normal. Sam, is this yours?
Yeah, it's me. Yeah. You got me. You got me. Again, it's totally unexpected, the fact that a threesome with her friend's husband is normal compared to putting up with her husband's peanut obsession. It's quite the roller coaster confession.
It's so extreme. I mean, it's so extreme, the difference between those two halves, you know. And that's what I think a good joke should be, is you've got your end, you've got your beginning. And if you can get those two things as far apart as possible, like a bow being stretched, that's where the funny shit happens, maybe.
You want the punchline to be a complete unexpected slap in the face.
Yeah. And that's what he probably got.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Yes.
I was one of the crew members on the Lost series. Don't worry, you're not alone.
We all stopped watching it after it left Channel 4 too.
You're not alone. The way Jack does CPR in the first episode is completely immersion-breaking and ruins the entire rest of the 120 seasons storyline.
Did you follow it? Could you follow it? Did you stay with it?
What I actually did was I watched the first one and thought, this is really good. Wow, amazing. And then I watched the second one and thought, this is really good. And I told all my friends about it and they started watching it. And then I saw the third one and I didn't like it. And then I stopped watching it. And then approximately a year and a half later, some of my friends were going, so what do you think is actually going on then with all this stuff? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't watched it beyond the... They were very angry with me for making them get hooked on Lost, thinking there'll be some kind of payoff.
Yeah, we bigged it up in the Beta newsletter back in the day, didn't we? In the era of BitTorrents and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you could BitTorrent things, not like nowadays.
You can still BitTorrent things. I taught my now 15-year-old son how to BitTorrent. He's the coolest dad in the shed.
a real father-son moment there.
But it's good. It's a good thing to teach kids, because like the thing that's going wrong now is like kids go into the workplace and because they've come up on like these things, like on mobile phones and stuff, they don't understand what a file system is anymore. That's literally a problem.
Mm.
And they don't understand there's directories and files. All they understand is, oh, the data's there, it's in the cloud.
They don't understand what a punch card is even.
But it matters if you don't know what a file is at some point. You can only get so far and then you need to know these things. Right, comedy podcast. Telling off the kids for not understanding
Gone
files.
Off on a massive
why, oh,
tangent.
Why?
Right, the actual full line is, I was one of the crew members on the Lost series. Don't worry, you're not alone. Nobody on the crew understood the ending either. Right, okay, so we'll go on to number four, which is, when I was at school, my RE teacher would give us 100 lines if we forgot our homework. If you didn't do the lines, she would double them the next week.
Every week, I was high as a kite, and she eventually got arrested for supplying Class A drugs.
She was doing lines.
He was doing lines of drugs.
Lines. Oh, sorry.
I forgot my homework for 16 weeks with the result that I owed her 13 trillion lines. I'm still doing them now. It's been 30 years and I leave them by the side of her grave.
I've spent a lot of time at graves recently, Dave.
Have you?
I have, genuinely. I've got into walking around the local cemeteries. There's two big cemeteries where I live, and I'm developing very strong opinions on, like, whether the graves are tasteful or not. Like, I've got my favourite grave at the moment, which is Douglas Cummings, cellist, and it's so tasteful. It's so understated. I've actually become a fan of him. And I've
been... Have you looked up his music?
Yeah, yeah, I have. I've been listening to his cello work.
Great recommendations.
He was the lead cellist in the LSA for 30 years.
And you've just discovered him because you found his grave and liked it.
He had a really tasteful grave, yeah, yeah.
Don't forget to like and subscribe on my grave.
But, you know, they're wonderful places. Why are we talking about graves? Because you brought them into the subject, haven't we?
Oh, it's my fault is it? Yeah. Yeah, you do get opinions about graves, though, don't you? When you're visiting a relative and you're like, but those guys, they're so common. Look at that, so many flowers.
I ended up having the massive fancy as well, like in this, you know, because I'd go there with the dog, somewhere to walk the dog. And I was like going, oh, if only it was still the 80s, you know, and you could like actually get paid decent money to write magazine articles, because it'd be a wonderful sort of like Sunday Times feature where you get the celebrity and you take them to the place where they make gravestones and work with them and design their gravestone and then have that as the big photo and just see if they do a tasteful and that or not.
Can you think of a celebrity you would like to have design their own gravestone with you by the side of them?
Well, all my favourite celebrities, obviously Robert Smith, I want to see his gravestone. It'd be covered in shells.
And he probably has his own gravestone.
Well, who would you go for?
Yeah, I was thinking of gravestones of the future, having some sort of QR code embedded in them, and then you can literally go on there straight away and read all about them rather than having to go home and look
on Wikipedia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 15 people are looking at this gravestone right now.
Yeah.
Data. Be nice.
It's already in somebody's basket.
Who said the line that was saying that it was you, wasn't it?
Me.
You were saying that it would be loads of lines, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because the actual answer is, I'll do the full thing. When I was at school, my RE teacher would give us 100 lines if we forgot our homework. If you didn't do the lines, she would double them next week. I left school owing her 800 lines. That was in 1983. I now owe her 5 × 1E641 lines. I'm not worried. She's probably dead. Someone in the replies was like, I did the maths. It's right.
He slacked off in RE, not in maths.
Right, the next one is, my 10-year-old son's school sent a letter home about a school trip. It advises parents to not send kids in with...
psychedelics. It's the same school from the previous confession.
Nuts or seeds. So I carefully screened out any biscuits or... I'm trying to do what a confession would be. So don't send kids in with nuts or seeds. So I carefully screened out any biscuits or flapjacks and I patted myself on the back for being such a responsible parent. And when he got back... my son cheerfully reported how much he enjoyed the peanut butter sandwich I'd packed along with him.
Ah, yeah, yeah. You have successfully created the dull Fessel confession format.
Indeed, I have. It's also true.
Oh, that one actually happened to you.
It's a truthful thing that I did, yes.
You were told not to send him with nuts.
And I very carefully screened out all the nuts, except for the fact that I gave him a nut sandwich.
Peanut sandwich, brilliant.
My 10-year-old son's school sent a letter home about a school trip. It advises parents to not send kids in with CD players or MP3 players. He has no idea what an MP3 player is. I feel old and the school needs to update their policy.
CD is close to seed, so I think I should get a point.
Okay.
That's stretching it somewhat.
You can have a point, Dave.
Are we scoring points? I don't know.
We're always scoring points. My boyfriend's been cheating, so I joined a dating site. I found him on there and...
I took a screen grab and had posters made up with the words, my penis is so small, I use it to reset my internet router, and plastered them all around town. Don't get on the wrong side of me, lads.
Have you done any terrible revenges on people?
I mean, you know... Yes. Make of that what you will. No, I haven't, but I've given myself an idea now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just need to find somebody to apply to it
do
to,
that
right?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, yours was?
Mine was pretty obvious. It's I'm getting him to cheat on me with myself, but with a more flamboyant name and a wig.
Ooh, you're
like,
doing the whole...
Like Kate Bush, Babushka.
Yeah.
I'm shouting Babushka at him.
There's loads of replies to that one, and they're all going something about a pina colada. So there must be another song.
Getting Caught in the Rain, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, someone answers a Lonely Hearts thing because he's sick of his relationship. And this person sounds fun, and it turns out it's his girlfriend wanting to cheat on him.
But you got it basically right, Dave, in the sense that it found him on there, been catfishing him. He's due to meet the other me in a bar in 10 minutes, blissfully unaware that I'm there with a suitcase of his clothes whilst my dad is changing their locks.
That is a good addition.
Well, it'd be a good extra verse, wouldn't it? Yeah. Maybe you could get publishing on the song.
My dad's got a suitcase.
And at the end of that round, I declare Sam the winner.
Hooray!
Well done.
Thank you. Comedy, this is comedy, comedy, this is comedy, comedy,
comedy, this is just a funny reply. Round two, funny replies. Okay, round two is comedy basic, guess the funny reply, i.e. write your own funny reply to the confession, but Family Fortune style, extra points for hitting the biggest comedy basic reply. I'll read some out for you. I'll read one out for you even. One, I tried to seduce my boss 2 weeks before my pay review. Didn't work, and he saw right through it, saying he knew what I was up to. 3 nights later, he texted wanting sex. 3 days and said he caved. Men are very easy. I got my pay rise, so I'm happy. And he was actually very, very good. So what do we reckon the funny reply could be, Sam?
This was Theresa May's initial answer to naughtiest thing you've ever done before she settled on running through fields of wheat.
I don't have a noise for like, that's really funny.
I think the noise is ha ha ha.
Dave, what's yours?
I think it would be better to make him wait at least a week so he'd be good and desperate. You're leaving money on the table by going straight there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just tumbleweed for that one, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
And not only did Sam's get the laugh, it was fundamentally quite close to the one I'd picked out, which is which constituency does he represent? So I mean, it's politics, you know what I mean?
I love
anyway,
that.
So we'll give a big point to Sam and a point to OneWolf93 for their great reply there. I decided to sleep with a guy I was dating who I really liked. We were having sex, and when he finished, he moaned, "Inside!" in the voice of an old garage music MC. I ghosted him ever since. Can't be having that.
He had 21 seconds to go out of your house.
Did he take 21 seconds to come?
I feel like that was a two-hander.
Yeah.
Points for both sides. You gang up against me and have points each. Gary Osberg's reply was, bit unfair seeing as you were loving it, loving it, loving it.
That's very good.
I liked your garage voice insider like he was Dracula. Insider.
Yeah, he sort of went Italian there, but also Romanian. Insider.
Okay. Been married 7 years and I've never once seen my husband's bum hole.
I actually know the answer to this because I sent it to you the other day. Yeah, yeah. I actually honed in on the fact that instead of never, it just said nev and they'd missed the R off. So I said, actually, it's meant to say never, but I'll stop being anal about it.
Have you tried rolling him in flour?
Dave definitely gets the point for that one. Yeah. But Sam, do you want to explain why you sent it to me? The actual answer, the real answer, which you can say now is...
The real answer was from Rylan saying, I have...
And you sent me this at like 2 a.m, a screen grab of it going, oh, like this. And I just like, who's Rylan?
Yeah. So Rylan is famous for initially being on The X Factor and has since forged a career for himself as a TV presenter, a very successful one.
He's got very white teeth, hasn't he?
He's
had some work done, do you think?
I mean, I was going to say tooth transplant, and that's not the word, is it? What do you call it when you have your veneers? He's had veneers
done.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he says this himself. He's got too many in his mouth.
Too many.
He's just had too many put in. One per tooth, isn't it? He's given them away. Right? So it's a very silly smile. Mm-hmm. But he's very successful now. And it was just very funny because he's saying that he's seen this person's husband's bumhole and it tickled me.
So is the implication with his answer that he's seen a stranger's bumhole and he's super promiscuous and he looks at bumholes?
I think that was the inference.
Okay, that's his inference, right.
And it just amused me and I thought you'd appreciate it.
And I was just lost on it because I didn't know who he was at all. And I was like, but then I was like going, oh, he's famous. Maybe he could do the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, right, number four in this section of guests of funny reply. A few years ago, I had a heart attack after finishing a wank while sat on the toilet. I was in horrendous pain, but struggled through to put clothes on and clean up the mess before screaming to my wife to ask for help.
It was touch and go for a minute.
Oh, very nice. I actually thought it was like when I struggled through to put clothes on. It's like, I was nearly there. The heart attack, but come on. Mine was, and you thought you were only having a stroke.
Oh, lovely.
I don't know what the noises mean
the
anymore.
Answer, that was the actual answer.
Was it the answer?
Yeah. It was like, he thought he was just having a stroke, but it turned out to be far more serious. From Peter Pun.
I don't like having the right answer.
Your own unique special answer.
Nah.
It's the quiz. You want to get it wrong because then you thought of an original joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Marriage was all but finished. We just let it go and suddenly knew the writing was on the wall. Driving to work one morning and someone on the radio said, text your partner and just say, I love you. I did it. It was the reset we needed and 20 years on, still happy. Thanks, DJ.
Last night a DJ saved my wife from a broken heart.
Nice.
That was literally the exact thing that I wrote as well.
You have to sing it.
But
Last night a DJ saved my wife. I was also going to say, the DJ said, just say, I love you. So I said, Tommy Vance loves you.
Do you think that's who he was listening to?
I think it was, Tommy Vance.
I did speak to Tommy Vance once on the phone in the context of, like, I had some girlfriend, you know, when I was about 25 or 26, and she had a friend of hers who was a bit older, and somehow they were out partying with Tommy Vance. And, you know, and I think he's dead, isn't he? He is dead. So I kind of say this story. So then my ex, this girl that I was seeing was out with Tommy Vance and this other girl, and they ended up sort of doing cocaine at some sort of like dodgy place with Tommy. And then they're phoning me up going, oh, we've got to phone Rob, tell him what we're up to. And then I've got like coked up Tommy Vance phoning me up saying he's hanging out with my girlfriend and asking how my computer programming is going.
Wow.
That's what I was doing. Okay, no, we need to do the answers to this because it's sort of like he goes, thanks, DJ. And Kev Murray's reply was, texting whilst driving is against the law. You should be divorced and in jail.
He's not wrong.
No. Yeah. I got like 1,000 fabs, but it died when I said it. It's probably coming after the Tommy Vance.
Tommy Vance. Tommy Vance is...
You followed it by that.
You've always
got
to let Tommy come first. That's the law. 6 months ago, as part of a midlife crisis, I bought an expensive silicon sex doll, but I didn't want it anymore, and I have no idea how to dispose of it without people thinking I'm trying to get rid of a dead body.
I've got an answer, but I think it's going to be a massive letdown, and it might leave you feeling deflated.
Nah.
Sorry, chaps.
Less embarrassing if they do think it's a dead body, to be honest.
Yes. Good point. The answer offered up from Problem Child was they could sell it on Cumtree. And we're heading into the final section of the first half.
We're all 100 years older.
Woo!
Round three is headlines. It's the headline round. You've got to guess the fesshole confession from the shitty clickbait news story that it got turned into, or just amuse the audience by imagining what it could be. And here's your starter for six. Bang. And I now have to read one out, don't I?
Bloody hell. No, you've built up the energy and then you have to energy now.
Yeah, but it is true. You know, I do enjoy just typing fesshole into the Google search and seeing what terrible articles have been lifted from the account.
Journalism has taken place.
I mean, to be fair, it's not the journalists that aren't themselves lazy. They're asked to make like 8 articles in a day. And what do? You turn a tweet into a bloody news story.
Mm-hmm. Twitter users are confessing their...
Right, okay, so the Lad Bible, which is the Bible for lads.
I don't know why that's so funny, but it is.
Right. The Lad Bible, the headline they put up was, man admits to always doing a specific chore so his wife doesn't learn his grim habit. What's the story?
I always offer to do the ironing so I can straighten my pubic beard at the same time. It's longer than the beard on my face. I'm like a reverse Gandalf. I think I was quite tired when I came up with that.
I've only got...
This was a midnight thing.
60% of this show to go. Dave.
I just went for a dully factual, which is he's doing the laundry to hide the socks that he wanks in.
Yeah, it could be that, couldn't it? Yeah. Okay, the actual confession is I do all the washing in our house because I don't want my wife to see the state of my boxes. I am worried she'll love me less if she sees how bad my skid marks are.
That's kind of sweet, but also disgusting.
Yeah, just wash your bum.
Hmm. Yeah, the chore I do is I wash my bum.
Yeah.
So don't learn my grim habit of having poo come out of my bum sometimes.
I feel like there's a whole load of middle gump that he could just trim out.
just wiping your bottom with extra steps.
Yeah.
So wash your bum every time you have a wipe and you have a poo.
At least on a sort of semi-regular basis, right?
Yeah. Or just install a bum gun.
A bum gun?
A bum gun. You know these little handheld shower things that you get sometimes?
So it's like not a proper bidet kind of thing?
No, it's a separate attachment that you take off the wall and then point it in the right direction.
Pretend you're Magnum PI.
But on your bum.
On your bum.
Yeah, with a water gun. And just wash it.
It crops up all the time on and on a pin, people talking about their dirty bottoms and bidets and stuff. And there was a one that came up once that just said... Britain, the arse barbarians of Europe.
The arse barbarians. Their long arse beards.
Right, okay, so the headline is, and it was in the Mirror newspaper, a fine, fine newspaper, and it said, I made an awkward discovery about my sister-in-law. I can't be in a room with her.
When she told me she was a fluffer, I assumed she cleaned the tunnels on the underground. But I found out the hard way, pun intended, that she's the other kind of fluffer.
Ah. The hard way.
The hard way. The hard way. Wink.
I made an awkward discovery about my sister-in-law. I can't be in a room with her because she is enormous and she's the size of a room.
It's like when people used to say, do you remember when computers were the size of a room? It's like that, but your sister-in-law.
Yeah, sister-in-law. Yeah, and sister-in-laws these days are very small. They can you carry them around in your pocket.
Not this one. She's the size of the room. She is the room.
She fills the room with her presence.
Aww.
Don't we want to all say that about ourselves? Right, the actual confession was, while looking for a new smut online, I discovered my sister-in-law has an OnlyFans. Never really thought about her in that way, but joined anyway out of curiosity. Not bad. Although I'm pretty sure some of the stuff was filmed on our family holiday with us in the next room watching Aladdin. Well, there was Aladdin, wasn't there?
Oh!
Hey.
That wasn't in the confession. That was just like the most cheap comedy basic thing to add. A Daily Star, they did this as the headline. My wife is having sex with other men, but there's a big reason why I can't object.
I am in a coma.
My wife is having sex with other men, but there's a big reason why I can't object. I spend all my time thinking about dry roasted peanuts, all the different types and different roasting processes.
Excellent
callback. Yeah, the actual confession is, I know my wife is banging other guys, but I can't bring myself to raise it up because I'm jobless and I've been living off my wife's money for the last 3 years. Bit sad, isn't it? There's no punchline on that one.
No. What a downer.
Mm. What a downer. The energy levels are dropped.
On the other hand, rent free.
And the last headline I've got to give you is from the Daily Star, that fine publication, and they absolutely hammer Fessel. They're always turning into content. And this one is, my hubby thinks he can get me excited by himself, but he doesn't know my dirty secret.
I like to watch an episode of Bargain Hunt before sex, especially when it's being presented by the gap-tooth toff and ultimate bedroom fantasy, Tim Wannacott.
Tim Wantacock? Sorry.
He's trained his parrot to say that. He doesn't know my dirty secret. I have the hot priest calendar taped to the bedroom ceiling above the bed. Forgive me, Father January, for I have sinned.
We nice. Finally published your confession, didn't we, Dave? Right, the actual confession is, my husband doesn't believe in lube or foreplay and just sticks it in dry. I have to let out a bit of wee onto him so it doesn't feel like someone shoving a rough parsnip into me. He thinks he gets me all wet by himself. I just thought it was just incredible. The Daily Mail clickbaited the dirty secret, and the dirty secret was piss.
Piss saved you a click.
Again, I feel like this is like just wipe your bum. I feel like there's a simple way out of this one.
Piss on the parsnips.
Well, just say that, like, why don't you just do a bit of foreplay first? Don't just stick it in like a rough parsnip. I feel like that's not a difficult thing to say.
I think it's an unreasonable ask as well.
This does crop up a lot on First Soul, people going, just talk to your partner, just talk to your partner.
Yeah.
Just why don't you please God talk to your partner? And no one does. But, you know, what happens when you do talk to your partner?
Unless maybe it's the person from earlier who was in a coma.
Now it's time for the did or didn't happen guest confession round. We've got a jingle for this too. Cue the jingle. This is where we get our two guests to offer up their two confessions, one true, one false, and the other guest has to work out which is which. Which is which?
He did so well.
Okay, which is which?
Who should go first?
It's always going to be Sam and Dave, isn't it? So, mm-hmm. Sam, do your confession.
Confession number one. I was once asked by a reasonably well-known comedian to shit in his rucksack. Confession number two. I once performed a magic trick on stage with David Copperfield.
Did and didn't happen.
Did and didn't happen. The thing about it is I can believe almost anything about comedians. So I'm going to say number one happened and number two didn't happen.
That is correct.
There's no depths to which comedians won't sink.
I mean,
are we allowed to explore this thing about a... Nope. Is that absolutely...
I mean, you know the story, Rob, so you don't need to
We've
explore it.
We've been giggling about this for how many years?
About 10 years at least, I think.
And every time you see him sort of turning up on Twitter, there's messages going back and forwards about the shit in his rucksack.
Yeah, I think the choice phrase was, make me your toilet.
Oh, God.
Wasn't
oh,
it? Man. Stuart Lee, what a show.
Rod Hole. Dave, over to you. Because, like, anyway, you did really well, though, because you scored all the points, didn't you?
Thank you. All right. Confession number one. I have an extremely convincing recurring dream that I have to hide a dead body in the loft. It's extremely awkward and there are too many boxes and it makes you wake up very anxious. And confession number two. I like to hold the door open for people who don't need the door held open for them and also who are slightly too far away. So they dance for me.
Again, I feel like those are probably both true. I'm not sure what that means. I think you like to hold doors open for people that are too far away.
You are absolutely correct. That's true. Yes. I probably tipped my hand by offering to carry one of the cups of tea that you were holding and not the other.
I didn't actually, if I was playing this game, I would have got it the other way around because you being anxious about, you know, stuff.
Yeah. I chose one that would be convincing.
Yeah. You were laying into your personality there. And I didn't know that you were secretly kind of like manipulating people to make them dance with doors.
Yeah. I mean, your first one, that's not a dream, is it? It's actually happening in reality. That was the secret. Same as mine. I did perform a magic trick on stage, but it was with Paul Daniels, not with David.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
You could have been the lovely Debbie McGee.
I could have. Missed out there.
Do you want to talk through the magic trick?
I can do. It was a children's show, so I was quite young. And he asked the question to the audience, name the ingredients that make a cake. So children putting up their hands, shouting, sugar, flour. And I knew it was going to be eggs because it's an egg trick. Come on, guys, think ahead. It's going to be eggs. So I said eggs and then he invited me on and we did a trick together where he made eggs disappear in a hat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it convincing to you when you were up there? I mean, obviously you didn't believe he was a magic man.
Saw right through it.
Right.
The canny six-year-old that I was. Nowadays, I'd be like, this is amazing. But yeah, there's photographic evidence somewhere. I shall dig it out.
So you both, at the end of that round, have the same amount of points, relatively speaking, because you both scored points, didn't you? I have no idea what the score is.
I haven't listened to it all 7 hours.
I think
we forgot to score one, didn't we?
Right, the editor who's got to edit this. I'm sorry, but you've got to like count it all up and then insert.
Maybe we should insert that at the beginning so he knows to do that and doesn't get to this point.
Well, what we could do is we could say all the numbers and then he can say, so your score is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just in the lead with an amazing 4, 5, 6.
Okay, we've hit round 5, so we're on the home straight now, but we're taking a deviation out of the world of Fesshole into the sister panel show projects, the spin-off panel show for Anonapin.
Anonapin. Anonapin. Anonapin. Anonapin.
There's a concept called the backdoor pilot. When you have a TV show and then you try and boot another TV show.
Right, that is not what I understood to be the meaning of backdoor pilot.
Okay. Anyway, the Anonapin round. What we've got to do here is that each panellist has to present the opinion as their own. It's been taken from Anonapin, but they have to present it as if they agree with it. And the other contestant has to work out whether they truly believe it or they don't believe it.
So it's like being a newspaper columnist.
Correct. Yes, yes. So first up, we've got Sam.
So my opinion is that much like young children, if a cat was able to give permission for pictures of them to be posted online, they wouldn't.
Would Sam believe this?
I think Sam would believe this, in fact.
I do, yeah. Because they're just assholes, aren't they? Let's face it.
Absolutely.
They might give permission if they could use a filter that made them look like a sexy cat. But in the absence of that, they would just definitely refuse because they're assholes.
They would know you would enjoy it and therefore they would deny you. Mine is, a pie where there isn't pastry on the bottom isn't a pie. It's a soup with a hat.
I mean, I'm not meant to be playing this game, am I? But where it would be your opinion is just the whimsical way it's been expressed, a soup with a hat.
I would zero in on having a whimsical thing to say and then form an opinion around that.
I don't think you can disagree with that, though, because if you presented that on a plate, it would all disperse out the bottom into like a soupy plate with just a...
Just a thing on it.
You can definitely go to a pub and order a pie and it will come in like an earthenware pot and it's just only got the crispy bit on top and they still call it a pie.
They call it a pie, but they shouldn't call it a pie. It's a deceit. I think there's two kinds of things going on because apparently the Romans used to like make pies and the pastry was just to throw away. You were just supposed to eat the nice filling. So maybe this is like the thing is just to seal in the delicious chicken and mushroom slop, and then you can...
I mean, I was going to say, I suppose it depends on the viscosity of the filling. If it's quite thick and solid, that works. But if it's soupy...
Like dog food, it would be okay, wouldn't it?
It would be okay, right? Bit chunky.
Does Dave have strong views on pies?
He does.
Yes, I do. Okay. I think it's hard to disagree with either of these two opinions that we've had so far.
They're solid, strong opinions.
On the face of them, they're truthful.
Sam is going to deliver an opinion about the pop group The Specials.
The Specials are the most important musical group the UK has produced in the last 50 years. And if there was an equivalent now, this country would be a significantly better place to live.
I'm going to say that is not your opinion.
You'd be wrong.
Oh.
Everyone just loves The Specials.
Love The Specials.
The most important musical group.
I mean, I struggle to think of another band that used their platform to raise awareness of social problems in the way that they did.
More important than the Beatles.
I mean...
More important than Harry Styles' group that he was in.
I mean,
I think
One
it's
Direction...
Just that conscious choice of having a multiracial group. That was what the thing, they were putting it there in your face.
Whether you believe it, Rob. I know you believe it.
I mean, One Direction, to be fair, was a semi-multiracial group.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right. One Direction are far more culturally significant than The Specials were. I've changed my mind.
Oh, God, I don't know how to score this now.
Whereas I do believe The Specials are the most important.
Dave.
Hello.
It is your turn to convince Sam of your opinion.
The Specials are the most important. The smell of bathroom air freshener combined with the smell of shit is worse than the smell of just shit.
I think you're right.
I think that's right too. Yeah. I agree with myself.
Excellent.
There's nothing worse than perfumed shit.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. That's exactly right? It's like shit in a wig.
Such an insult. Yeah. Like perfumed shit.
It's not only shit, it's dishonest.
It's like you've shat out some Parma violets.
You've drunk
eaten
some
too
perfume.
Many Parma violets. You've scattered potpourri over it.
I would say that eating even a single Parma violet is too many Parma violets, to be honest. There's a traditional sweet shop that one of my relatives lives nearby, and they always buy my son traditional sweets, and they're like love hearts and Parma violets. They're just disgusting. Sweets have moved on a lot since those days.
I feel like they have.
They're left there in this sad, dusty box.
So points for everyone in that round, but we've got a couple more to do. And now it's Sam's turn with...
The best neighbours are the ones you never hear, never see, and that don't park like twats.
Is this something Sam believes?
I think that it is, in fact, something that Sam believes.
Yeah. You don't need good neighbours to become good friends. You just need them to be invisible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not park like twats.
That's fine. You've got friends for being friends. You don't need the people you live next to be...
Don't need my neighbours to become
friends. I was actually surprised. I thought you were going to be a little bit more like, oh, you know...
Neighbourly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're basically a nice person.
Right? Oh.
No, basically.
Thanks. Basically, you know.
Not entirely.
No.
Dave got that one right, didn't he? Yeah. So now, Dave, it's your final opinion. You've got to convince Sam whether this is something you believe or not.
Yeah, weddings, they're objectively pretty shit, aren't they? We need to wipe a load of the traditions and get some new ones.
What new traditions do you want, Dave?
Reverse weddings.
Reverse weddings.
You still end up married, but you have to walk backwards the whole time. New traditions, everyone, just different.
I don't think you do believe that. I feel like you probably enjoy a good wedding.
I don't enjoy weddings that much, but there are lots of people who do, and therefore I don't think they're shit. I think they're all right.
They should be got rid of.
Yeah.
There you go. A point, please.
Okay, points
for
everyone.
She needs a point.
12 points each.
Hooray!
Hooray!
And now it's time for the final round, and I've got a theme tune for this one. Wankety wank, wank, wank. Wankety wank, wank, wank. Wankety wank, wank. Wankety wank, wank, wank. Wankety wank. Okay, so it's wankety wank. So what we've done is we've taken a confession, we've removed a word, and then you have to guess what the word is. So I'll read this one out. Every time I see a kid under 10 wearing wankety wank, I always say, wow, I love your wankety wank, because I fucking hated wearing wankety wank as a child. I hope it makes their day.
A nappy.
That's a lovely idea.
I fucking hated wearing a nappy. Yeah.
Just
I
the
love
idea
your nappy.
That you might go and... tell other children that you really love it, that they're wearing a nappy. Just tickled me at midnight.
Yeah, I love your nappy. It really makes your eyes pop.
Dave, do you want to read it out with your word?
Yeah, sure. Every time I see a kid under 10-ish wearing glasses, I always say, wow, I love your glasses, because I fucking hated wearing glasses as a kid. I really hope it makes their day.
You've got the point, Dave.
Thank you. And the reason is my kid wears glasses. Yeah. And that literal exact thing happens. People do that because they know that it's really hard to wear glasses when you're like 5 years old.
Wow. Oh.
And I absolutely respect and appreciate all the people who say that to kids who wear glasses.
But also his nappy makes his eyes pop, even though he's 9.
I work for a large consultancy. When we hire new graduates, I have a filter set up to automatically reject anyone who uses wankety wank anywhere in the application. I've rejected hundreds this way. Sam, what's your suggestion?
I work for a large consultancy. When we hire new graduates, I have a filter set up to automatically reject anyone who uses the words large consultancy anywhere in their application. I've rejected hundreds this way.
Could be that one. Dave, what do you reckon?
I work for a large consultancy. When we hire new graduates, I have a filter set up to automatically reject anyone who uses anarcho-syndicalist collective anywhere in their application. I've rejected hundreds this way.
Dave gets the point, I think, there for being ridiculous and very good. The actual answer is could of.
Oh.
So it's just being moaning about grammar and like just being twats, aren't they? Right. I told my missus that I've started jogging in the evenings when in reality I get changed into the running gear and I go and sit in the local park and I play wankety wank for about an hour. Sam, what do you reckon?
I told my missus that I've started jogging in the evenings when in reality I get changed into the running gear and go and sit in the park and play with my penis for about an hour.
That's literally exactly what I did as well. I told my missus that I've started jogging in the evenings when in reality I get changed into the running gear and go sit in the local park and play with myself for about an hour.
Well, you've both got dirty minds and you're not getting any points because the actual thing was he went off and played Pokemon Go. It was like a misdirect, that one, because he was doing something sweet and nice. Well, not really that sweet, because it's
only... You can't play Pokemon Go sitting in the park. You have to walk around.
Pokemon come to him. What if you lose it?
My amazing wife took me away for my 40th birthday. The holiday house was amazing, and I was looking forward to some peace and relaxing. I walked into the next room, and my entire family was there. Instead of being delighted, I very audibly said, wankety wank.
Instead of being delighted, I very audibly said, Mother, I wish you had aborted me on conception.
We've got the clip to, like, go viral. Brilliant. The marketing people love it.
Instead of being delighted, I very audibly said, I want a divorce.
The actual answer is, instead of being delighted, I very audibly said, for fuck's sake. Right, it's a draw. You're both winners.
Hooray!
Yay!
You both get blankety blank, wankety wank checkbooks and pens.
This is amazing.
You both win the golden speedboat on Bullseye.
The golden speedboat. I love it. Love it.
The solid gold speedboat they gave away every week on Bullseye. Don't
so,
you remember?
So many winners died. Those speedboats straight to the bottom.
How are we going to split it? I have it for the first 2 weeks of the month and you can have it for the second two.
Sounds good.
Joint custody of the golden death boat.
Right, thank you, Sam, for coming in. And thank you to our producer, Craig, for letting us record this in his David Cameron wanking shed. And finally, as this is the final episode of our 10-episode first season run, Dave, what do we need to remind listeners to do?
Rate and review the Fesshole podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.